Hello, I'm Connie Rotella, and welcome to our Triple Threat podcast. I'm super excited to begin this journey with all of you. Are you ready to put your best foot forward and show up with confidence? This tool is here to help you evolve into the artist you are meant to be. Just always remember to believe, become, and be ready. Add a new skill set or refine what you already know. So here we go.
Well, today I have a special, special guest. He's not in the industry, but he kind of is. He doesn't dance, act, or sing. Mind you, he does when he sees you. He loves it. He's passionate about it, but that's not what drives his everyday life. He is a sports broadcaster. He loves doing and speaking about sports. That's what he loves the most. He actually loves to eat too. So Tony Marinaro is in the house. He's on Industry Talk to speak about the industry, but in another kind of way. It's all about passion today and what drives him to do what he loves to do best. So Tony, welcome to Industry Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Oh boy, Tony, we're not talking about sports today, but I want to know, how did you get started?
It all started when I was probably about 13 years old. I used to listen to sports radio. I was a big sports fan. I think I came to the realization I was never going to be an athlete. I don't think I had that in me. And so I used to listen to a lot of sports radio. I love the Montreal Canadiens. I love soccer. And, you know, growing up in Montreal, there were different sports radio shows I would listen to. And one of which was hosted by the late Ted Thieven. He was a legend in the industry. And he used to host a show that would run weeknights from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I used to listen to him and quite often fall asleep listening to him with my Walkman on, those yellow Sony Walkmans with those yellow headphones, if you can remember. And I used to be in bed and I used to listen to him. And then as I got a little bit confident, I picked up the phone. I started becoming one of his callers. And that's how I got the itch. And that's, you know, the second I heard Ted Thieven do his thing, the second I went on the air as a caller, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Wow. That's how it all started.
And that's how it all started.
So you didn't want to play soccer or play hockey because you did play sports, but yeah, you wanted to go on air and speak about sports and talk to all these sports players, these athletes.
Well, look, the first thing I wanted to do was, yes, I wanted to be a soccer player. Hockey, I knew it was going to happen because I didn't know how to skate very well. Soccer, I could play. But at the same time, you know, when I was playing back in the mid-80s, I was born in 1972, so I'm playing up until 16 or 17 years old. I'm in Montreal. It's not a mecca for soccer. Canada's not a mecca for soccer. The place you want to be is Europe. I don't have much of a support system. My mother doesn't drive. My father's working two jobs. And so it just seemed it just seemed too difficult for me to be able to pull off. Not to say that if I would have had the support system, ultimately I look back and even if I would have had the support system, I don't think I would have been able to make it. A, it was way too competitive. B, I grew up here. So it's not like I ever had the best coaching. It's not like I ever had the best training. And C, to think that I'd have to move away far from family, I wouldn't have been prepared for that. So look, I knew I wasn't going to be a soccer player. So the next best thing I thought was, if I can't play sports, why don't I just talk about it? And at that point, you could talk about it either on radio or on television. I kind of liked TV, but I loved radio.
And why did you love radio so much?
Well, because I knew that if I did radio, I could stay in my tracksuit. I could stay in my hoodies. I could stay in my jogging pants. I didn't have to get dressed. I knew that if I did radio, I didn't have to wear any makeup. But also I knew that if I did radio, I can kind of more be myself. I would be closed up in a studio. There wouldn't be any cameras on me. And even if I had a little bit of shyness, and I didn't have too much, but I had a little bit, I thought it would get, you know, it would go away in a radio studio. So that's why I liked radio more.
So you started like this in the radio and, you know, your fan base is unbelievable because they follow you everywhere you walk. Someone stops you and there's Tony Marinaro and there's Tony Marinaro. So passion has a lot of different forms. And the reason I have you on, do you know why I have you on Industry Talk, Tony?
Because you called a bunch of other people, but they weren't available. So I happened to answer the phone.
That's not it, Tony. So when the pandemic hit, I did a lot of stories and you fell on one story that you kept on your phone. Do you remember which one?
Yes, the story of you going on Instagram and saying, don't stay stuck in your little box, get out of that box and branch out.
Oh, lovely. And you kept that on your phone. You still have it and you show it and you kind of laugh at it. But if we go back to that time, were you stuck in a box?
Yes. Yes, I was. And a lot of people were stuck in that box. And I think the pandemic became an eye opener for some and became a cushion for others. It made some work harder and it made some lazy. And when the pandemic was going on, I remember that I'm working sports radio at the time. I'm hosting 3 hours of sports radio per day, Monday to Friday. And at one point I said to my wife, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I've been very down lately. And at the time, I was asked to work from home. And I thought I would have loved working from home. And some days I do. But I realized that working from home after 1 week, 2 weeks, and then I told my wife, I'm starting to feel down. I didn't know why it was. And she said to me, she said, well, of course you're starting to feel down. You're doing the show and there's nobody around you. And I said, yeah, but when I go to the studio, usually there's nobody around me either. There's maybe my op. Okay. But it's not like I see a lot of people. She says, yeah, but you see some people. And I thought about it and she was right, because when I was doing my show from home, basically I was alone. The op was back at the radio station. I was at home and I was looking at a wall and talking for 3 hours, and I'm going live on Montreal Sports Radio. But there's nobody around me and I'm looking at a wall for 3 hours. So anyway, long story short, I mean, that was a time where I said, man, I kind of wish I can go back to the station. I kind of wish I can get out, because I thought it was a pretty depressing time. But, you know, when that was going on, I thought about my future. Everyone was thinking about their future during COVID, and COVID was really tough times and we didn't know if businesses were going to make it. A lot of business went down in a lot of industries. A lot of companies were starting to take a hit. Radio was no different. And at that point, I really started to put a lot of my energy as well into building my brand and building a podcast. Now, I had started a podcast about 2 years ago. And at one point, while COVID was going on and everything was going on, the radio station that I worked for, the company that I worked for, they had three radio stations closed down in the span of probably a couple of hours. And it really was an eye opener, because I said, wow, you know, I need to have a plan B. So I had a podcast that I was kind of doing for fun. But once that happened, I said, you know what? If something's going to happen, I got to start preparing my plan B. And that's what I did. I prepared my plan B. And today I host the podcast full time. From Monday to Thursday nights at 10 p.m., it goes live on YouTube. It goes live on Facebook. It goes live on Twitter. You can also listen to it on Google, on Apple, on Spotify, and all that stuff. And why 10 p.m.? Well, because the majority of my fan base are hockey fans. The majority of those hockey fans are Montreal Canadiens fans. And I used to be on radio at 10 o'clock in the morning. And every time a game used to be over, I used to get either tweets or send out tweets saying, is it 10 a.m. yet? So I work for Sick Media, and they actually came up with the idea and said, you know what you're going to do with your podcast? I said, what? They said, you're going to go at 10 p.m. And I said, why 10 p.m.? Well, they said, because all your fans and all your listeners, all your followers, they kept on tweeting, is it 10 a.m. yet? And they didn't want to, they couldn't wait till 10 a.m. the next morning. Well, now they won't have to wait, because most hockey games are usually done by 9:30 or 10 o'clock. So when they're done, you're going to go on live and they're going to get instant reaction from you. And that's what we did. And we're having a lot of success with it.
Oh, lots of success. So what is it called, your podcast?
It's called The Sick Podcast. And the reason why it's called The Sick Podcast is because the owner and founder of the company, his name is Sammy Cavallaro. And Sammy opened up his own social media company about 8 or 9 years ago called Sick Media. So I'd like to take this opportunity, if I can, to talk to you very briefly about Sammy, because Sammy's an incredible inspiration. Sammy is a young man that I met about 10 years ago. So a buddy of mine, Mike Moretto, said, I'd like to introduce you to a family, and they have a son who has spinal muscular atrophy. And this family has fundraisers trying to raise money for families of SMA. Can you give them a hand? Can you give the cause some exposure? They have a gala. Can you help them out? Can you volunteer your service? Because we're trying to raise money here. And I said to my buddy, I said, no problem, Mike. I'd be more than happy to meet them. So Mike grew up playing soccer with Agnello, Sammy's dad. So anyway, he puts us in touch. I give them a call and we meet. They have me over at their house and they talk to me about Sammy's story. So Sammy was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy at 9 months old. The family, his father Agnello and his mom Rosa, were told that Sammy wasn't going to make it to the age of two. Today, Sammy's 21 years old. And a couple of years ago, Sammy was on Yahoo Finance's top 15 entrepreneurs in Canada under the age of 20. He came in ranked number 4 in Canada. So how did he do it? Sammy's a big sports fan. He especially loves football and he especially likes hockey. He's a Tennessee Titans and a Philadelphia Flyers fan. So a couple of years ago, several years ago, Sammy, who is very active on social media, especially on Instagram, opened up an account called Sick Highlights. What does he do with that account? Basically, he would watch sports, stay with his phone, record sporting events, and the second that the highlight of the night would happen in sports, he'd have it taped, he'd upload it with a bed of music, and he'd put it up on his Instagram account, which was Sick Highlights. So sports fans knew that if they wanted to watch the highlight of the night, Sick Highlights would probably have it before anybody else. And if you think about it, with all the TV stations that are out there and all the sports television stations, for him to be able to have that highlight on that smartphone before anyone else, pretty remarkable. That site gave Sammy 2 million followers. So afterwards, Sammy began to open up other accounts under the word sick on Instagram. For example, Sick Power Play for hockey highlights, Sick Footballs for soccer highlights, and the list goes on and on. Today, Sammy has, between Instagram and Snapchat, over 6.5 million followers. So a couple of years ago, so I've known the family for about 10 years now. I've emceed their fundraiser, which they have every year, at least they did prior to COVID, called Sammy's Valentine's Gala. Many, many years, I was the MC of that gala. So like I said, I've known them for 10 years. So a couple of years ago, Sammy called me over and he wanted to show me his new baby, his new thing. What was it? It was a podcast studio in his house. So he showed it to me with a lot of pride. And he said, my new idea is I want to have a sports podcast. I want to call it the Sick Podcast. And I want you to be the host. Now, I had a lot going on in my life. I have two boys that play competitive soccer. I was already doing radio work. I was already doing television work. I was already working nights. But after everything Sammy's been through, how do you say no to Sammy? So what I said to Sammy was, Sammy, I'd love to do it, but I'm going to need clearance from my boss at work to let him know that I'm doing it. And so I spoke to my boss about it, and there was some resistance or hesitancy at the beginning. I really wanted to do it for Sammy because I knew it was going to just bring Sammy so much joy. And I wanted to go along for the ride. So anyway, I insisted and I was given the okay at that point. So I went back to Sammy and I said, all right, Sammy, I can do it. We did it. We started off slow. We would record a podcast once a week, live from Sammy's studio in his home. And then COVID hit. So I'm working radio, COVID hits. I'm doing some TV, COVID hits. And I'm doing the podcast and COVID hits. So what do you think happened when COVID hits? I'm doing the podcast. Sammy, obviously, with spinal muscular atrophy, can't be around people at the time of COVID because the last thing you want Sammy to do is catch COVID. So Sammy came up with an idea. You know what that idea was?
Tell me.
All right. So what we did was at first we put it on hold. And then Sammy said, we got to start doing podcasts, Tony. And I said, yeah, but Sammy, I don't want to come over to your house because if by chance I'm a carrier and I give you COVID, I'm not going to be able to live myself. I don't want to do that. So Sammy said, Tony, We don't know how long COVID's going to last. Guess what? It might last 2 years. It might last 3 years. It might last 4 years. You never know. Let's not take any chances. We cannot afford to take a break from the podcast for that long. So what we're going to do is from now on, you're going to do the podcast at your house. So what does Sammy do? He sends over a handyman and a carpenter. They put these brick tile platforms on my wall or whatever you call it. He brings over one of the best graffiti artists in the city. 5 hours work. He spray painted the sick podcast. He sent over. I try and show you. Mm-hmm. There you go. He sent over a console. He sent over a microphone. He sent over a couple of LED lights. He sent over some soundproofing, had it installed, soundproof carpet, soundproof on the ceiling. And all I had to do, a 4K camera. And all I had to do was go out and buy a laptop, an Apple MacBook Pro. And I'm ready to go. So we started doing it at my place. And then we increased the frequency. We went from once a week to three times a week. Then we went from three times a week to four times a week. And then finally, I made the decision to go full time so I could concentrate all my efforts on the podcast. In the meantime, when I made that decision to go full time, I got some other opportunities where I could be a collaborator on French Sports Radio on BPM Sport. I could be a collaborator on French Sports Television on TVA Sport. And so I work French radio Monday to Friday, 15-minute hit. I work French television Monday to Thursday, 15-minute hit. It's 30 minutes a day, and it leaves me with a lot of leisure time to be able to work on my podcast, which I do Monday to Friday.
So you are able to actually have a successful life just with the podcast itself.
Yeah, just if I was doing just a podcast, I'm doing okay for myself. Obviously, every dollar helps. And the fact that I'm contributing on French Sports Radio and on French Sports Television, it obviously gives me a really nice cushion. And, you know, when you talked about getting out of your little box, that's something that I decided to do because I've been working or I worked English sports radio for 20 years. And about 5 years ago, I got approached by 91.9 FM. At the time, it was 91.9 Sports. I got approached by them to see if I was interested in joining their radio station. I met with them, but I didn't have it in my heart to leave where I was. I'm a very loyal guy in everything I do. And I said, no, I just wasn't ready. I thought about it. And I also saw where English sports radio was going. Where we were, what we got to, I looked at the potential, obviously, on the French side, there are, what, about 8 million people in the province of Quebec, 7 million people speak French, there's a lot more opportunities in French, and there's a lot more work in French, and you know what, I thought I had accomplished pretty much everything I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to work sports radio, I did so. I wanted longevity, I mean, I was about to get fired in year one because I wasn't good enough. In the end, I lasted, you know, 20 years. I had a difficult slot. It was great for your personal life, but it was difficult in terms of ratings. But nevertheless, I was able to achieve the ratings that I wanted to. Sometimes do the unthinkable and be the highest rated show at the station, which I say with a lot of humility and a lot of pride. It made me very, very happy to be able to accomplish that because the odds were against me at that time in terms of being able to accomplish that. So I thought I had accomplished a lot. And now the only thing was, do I make the jump to do French sports radio and French sports television? I was a little nervous. I spoke to a couple of people around me. My wife herself was very concerned. She thought it was going to be very, very difficult. She also, you know, she liked stability, and I was at the same place for close to 20 years. And she just thought, you know what? Your French isn't good enough. And she was right. My French wasn't good enough. And 4 or 5 months later, my French still isn't good enough. But what I do know is I work on my French all the time. I watch a lot of French sports television. I listen to a lot of French sports radio. I read newspapers in French. I read articles in French. I read press releases in French. I watch podcasts in French. I listen to podcasts in French. I read books in French, and I'm trying to improve my French every day. And it's not perfect. And it might not ever be. But the one thing I know over 20 years of doing sports is that the Francophones, the thing they appreciate most above all is the effort. And I said to my wife, and I said to my loved ones, and I said to my friends who maybe were a little bit skeptical, I said, if I make the effort, which I know I will, and they know I'm making the effort, I believe they will have no problem with me making some mistakes with feminine or masculine or masculine or feminine. And so far, they've embraced me. I've embraced them. I think it's a pretty nice message that we can all work together. We don't have to be divided. We don't have to be Anglophones on one side. We don't have to be Francophones on the other side. I think together we're stronger. And you know what? I've loved it. I've never looked back. It's been the greatest move of my professional career.
So as scared as it could have been to change and to develop and go on the French side completely, your fan base followed you. And now you have even more fan base. You just walked in the studio the other day and they recognized you because they watch French TV. And so your viewers are just everywhere and they love what you do, even if they don't agree with you, because I know you have a lot of them that, you know, you actually love challenging stuff. And that's normal. A challenge is a challenge, you know, like whether you like or not, you seem to really know your stuff and you come from a place where it's honest and you speak to all these people. Your podcast is all about interviewing all these elite people all around the world. Like, I mean, this is what you do. So it's about sharing stories. It's about knowing the facts. It's speaking about it and sharing it with everybody that's listening. So I know some people go to bed listening to you. And I know the wives are like fed up of listening to sports. But I mean, you're everywhere in everybody's homes, in the beds, in everywhere. So how does that make you feel knowing that you did stay stuck in that box and there was an answer and you followed your gut? You actually, I think, believed in yourself in order for you to land.
Well, that there's no doubt. I mean, first of all, my message to anyone who's watching, if I can inspire you in any way, shape or form, even a little bit, is it all starts with believing in yourself. If you're not going to believe in yourself, how do you expect anyone else to believe in you? You're not going to be able to do what you do or do it as good as you want to do it or achieve any kind of greatness if you don't believe in yourself. Believing, in my opinion, comes from preparation. If you're well prepared, there's no reason why you shouldn't believe. If you put in the work and you know that you're ready for anything that comes your way, you're not intimidated about anything at that point. I know I put in the work. I know I watch a lot. I know I listen a lot. I know I talk a lot. I know I get out there a lot. And so I prepare. And so when the light goes on, whether it's radio or television, I'm not afraid of anything. At the end of the day, the beauty of sports is that, you know, there are a lot of things about sports that are opinions. And you have yours, I have mine, someone else has theirs. And it doesn't mean that any one of us is right. What we're all going to do is basically base our points on the homework we've done, what we think. But everyone's entitled to their opinions. And you said to me before, there's a lot of people that don't agree with me. And you're right. And in a perfect world, I'd like maybe for more people to agree with me, or I'd like for pretty much everyone to love me. But the most important thing is that whether they agree with me or not, they're watching. And that's what we want to do, right? We want to have numbers. We want to have people watch. We want to have people listen. Probably more people disagree with me than most sports radio hosts or sports analysts or sports collaborators out there. And that could mean one of two things. It could either mean that I'm really out there and like I'm not rational or logical, which I don't think is the case. Or it could be that I am so opinionated and I'll give you so many opinions. I'm never going to say, well, I think it's this or that or this and that. Or I'm never going to say I don't have an opinion on something, or I'm rarely going to say I don't know, or I'm going to give you an opinion. whether it's right or wrong, I'll give it to you. And because I give a lot of opinions, well, then, you know, people can counter what I say and stuff like that. But I wouldn't want to have it any other way. I've always been like that. It's worked for me. I have a really nice social media following. I have a really nice loyal following. You talked about people that have followed me over. You know, the people that used to listen to my radio show, it was very, very humbling to know that there were people that were listening in Toronto, Halifax, Edmonton, New York, Mexico, New Zealand, Israel, Italy. The list goes on and on. A lot of Montrealers, of course, had to go away for studies or had to go away for work. And their connection to the Montreal Canadiens was listening to sports radio out of Montreal, and they listened to me. Once I left English sports radio, they followed me over to listen to me on French sports radio. They started watching French sports television, and they started following my podcast. They're kind of like a community, the same ones. They gather there all the time, weeknights at 10 p.m. And it's been really awesome to see over the last 5 or 6 months, the numbers just continuing to grow. Now on YouTube, we have over 11,000 subscribers. I actually had a paper. Actually, look, I have a paper right here. I used it yesterday. Okay, I'm going to look at it. So in the last 28 days, the Sick Podcast on YouTube has 164,000 views and has 2.4 million impressions. Okay? On Twitter, it has 1.1 million impressions. It has 105,000 downloads on Apple, Google, and Spotify. So in the last 28 days, the podcast has reached 3.5 million people. 2.4 million on YouTube, 1.1 million on Twitter, plus the 105,000 downloads, plus the 164,000 views. So the numbers are growing all the time. And it's pretty cool to see.
And that all started with believing in yourself, the work ethic, the preparation, the connection, the community, all these words that we use in our industry too. So no matter what industry you're in, I think this shows you how to be well prepared for something you love to do. Because it all falls down to passion and believing in yourself. And then you have to put in the work, because in order for you to have these millions of followers and viewers all over the world, is pretty insane. And your podcast is ranked number.
Well, so if you take a look at podcasts, basically the rankings change every week. If you go to there's specific websites for that. But for the most part, in the last calendar year, it would come out on top as the number one podcast covering the Montreal Canadiens. If we take a look at the last 365 days, and of all the podcasts covering the Montreal Canadiens, which one was ranked the highest over that period? It would be the Sick Podcast. But I want to add something, because you talked about believing in myself. You're right. 100%. I do, big time. I also believe in Sammy a lot. And I also believe in Sick Media a lot. And I want to say that because, look, as much as I've built a name for myself over the last 20 years, podcast is a different world. I didn't have any prior experience in it. My experience was in sports radio and on television. And Sammy taught me so much about the business. I basically followed his lead. And if I had to do this by myself in podcasting, even today, knowing what I know, if I would disassociate from Sammy and disassociate from Sick Media, I wouldn't have anywhere near the success. And I think that's pretty important, because the content is one thing. The social media behind you, that's something else. I'm good with the content. I have no problem at all. I can talk about any sport, anytime, any place, anywhere, but I'm not very good at social media. Like, I'm okay between Twitter and Facebook or whatever. I probably, and my Facebook group page and Instagram, I probably have about 100,000 followers, but Sammy has over 6 million followers, and I probably post twice a day. Sammy posts 30 times a day, 40 times a day. I can't do what Sammy does. I can't do what Sick Media does. So I can't do what I'm doing without them. And I think that's important to point out as well. Yes, I believe in myself. I believe in Sammy a lot too.
Well, this is called mentorship that we have also in the business. There's always someone that's going to see something in you and they're going to come and grab you. And that's my story. Someone came, you know, these French artists came to grab me at home and say, hey, you're coming on tour with us. My father didn't want me to do this at all. And many years later, look how much more we're building careers. We're starting them off well with the proper foundation. And it's all a belief system and mentorship. So we have two amazing stories, and I'll add mine in. It's three amazing stories right here of how much we believed in ourselves. We had a passion, but we had people believing in us and helped us start off a career. Now, if we go back to that day that you were listening to my video and we were stuck in COVID time, and you were probably laughing and repeating it over and over. If you go back, did you envision all this 3 years after?
That's a good question. Did I envision, look, I didn't have a crystal ball and I didn't know what was going to happen. So I probably didn't. The one thing I can tell you though, is the minute I decided to leave 20 years of English sports radio to do a podcast full time, I knew I was going to have a lot of success with the podcast. The minute I agreed to be a collaborator on French sports radio, I knew I was going to have a lot of success as a collaborator on French sports radio. The minute I agreed to be a collaborator on French sports television, I knew I was going to have a lot of success. So did I know 2 years ago or 3 years ago where things were going to go? Not really. Did I envision this? Not really. But the second that I agreed to go in this direction, I knew I was going to have success. Why? Because I love it too much. And that fire that was in me as a kid at 13 or 14 to do this for a living, that fire is burning now more than ever. And as much as, you know, I've been doing this now for 20 years and I'm having success, I really believe I can still take my game to other levels because once again, the podcast world is rather new to me. So I've been doing it for 2 years. If I take a look at when I work sports radio in English, well, year two, I was okay. Year five, I was better. Year 10, I was starting to come into my own. Year 15, I really hit my stride. Year 19, when I quit, I was at the top of my game, 100%. So I still think because podcasting is still relatively new to me, I have two more gears that I can hit and I'm going to hit them because, you know, I love it. I work hard at it. And, you know, one of the things, and I'm not a perfect dad by any means, but one of the things I want to show my kids is that I'm not going to be outworked. And once again, we talked about confidence before. Confidence stems from preparation. Preparation is the work you put in. And if you work harder than everyone else, you're going to probably be able to do your job better than most. And so, you know, when you talk to me about that, is this what I saw? Like, I want to be the best. Having said that, I know that there's somebody better than me. I know that there's two or three people better than me. I mean, the world is a very, very big place. There are people that have huge success with podcasts. Joe Rogan is one of them. Pat McAfee is another. Like, I'm not in their league. I'm nowhere close. I'm not even in the same sentence. But you know what? I'm going to give it my best shot. And one of the things I want to do is I want to be the number one Montreal Canadiens podcast in the world. After that, you know, I want to have a sports podcast that'll be number one in the city, then number one in the province, then number one in the country. And then I'll go to North America and, you know, I'll try to make a little bit of noise. Am I going to make as much noise as those guys made? Probably not. But I'm going to try as hard as I can. I'll tell you that.
Well, over the years, you've learned from your past experience that you only get better and better. And it's only over the years, the ones that are able to stick to the game, make it to the finish line. Yeah. So I really believe that that will happen, since you already have all the etiquettes, all the right platforms to make it there. Your confidence, you're believing in yourself, your work ethic, everything that has to do with making it happen. And that goes to everybody in whatever business you are. It's the same equation that will get you to what you want to do, or what you say you want to do, or what you're passionate about.
And you need a little bit of luck along the way. There's no doubt about it. I want to touch on one thing before you let me go, which is probably soon. But that is that when you said before, you need someone to believe in you. Another very quick story. So I used to call sports radio shows, like I told you. I was a caller. I happened to go to a charity golf tournament one day, and I meet this gentleman by the name of Wayne Bues. Wayne Bues was a sales manager for Shom FM. And so we start talking, and he recognized my voice. And he said, "You call sports radio shows?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And so we talked, and he said, "Hey, look, you know, I know you're a big hockey fan. I'd like to invite you to my hockey pool." So he has a hockey pool once a year for the regular season, once a year in the playoffs. And I went to the hockey pool. And, you know, luckily enough, I won the hockey pool in the season. I won the hockey pool in the playoffs. I caught his attention a little bit. And long story short, about a year later, an all sports radio station opens up in Montreal, and Wayne Bues leaves Shom FM to become the sales manager of that all sports radio station. So he contacts me and he asks me if I want to volunteer my services and go on after every Montreal Canadiens game. But he says, "We're just starting up. I can't pay you. Like, this is a dream. You kidding me? I don't care if I'm going to do it for free." So I did it for free. And then a month later, he said, "Hey, it's going pretty good. Can you come on before the games as well? But I can't pay you." Does it matter? So I went on before the games as well. And he didn't pay me, and that was okay. And I did that for about 4 or 5 months. I did it September, October, November, December, 4 months. In December, he said, "Hey, we had advertisers on your postgame and on your pregame show. So now we have a budget to open up a show in the afternoon. Why don't you audition?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm not qualified for that." And he said, "Just go for it. We have 7 people auditioning. The auditions are done 2 by 2. We need one more person to make it an even 8. Just go out and give it your best shot." Well, I did. And in the end, I was one of the 2 people selected. So he hired me full time, and I started off in the industry working Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. I did afternoon drive for 2.5 years. Then I did a morning show for 2.5 years. And then the last 15 years, I did 10 a.m. to 12 by myself, and then 12 to 1 with 2 colleagues. But I can tell you that the first year that I did sports radio, I was not very good. My English was a disaster. My delivery was not very good. My interview skills were not very good. I just was not very good. I tried hard, but my best wasn't good enough. And I can tell you that I got called into the office from the general manager, as well as the sales manager. And the general manager told me that I just wasn't cutting it. And it looked like he was going to fire me then, but, you know, on the insistence of Wayne, the sales manager, they gave me a month to turn it around. Well, that month, I had all the weight of the world on my shoulders. I didn't turn it around. I didn't react well to the pressure. You know, my dream job was slipping away from me, and it hurt me, and I didn't like it. Well, I was supposed to meet with them 1 month later. 1 month later, I go in. I go in that day thinking the worst, I'm going to get fired. Wayne calls me into his office. Guess what he tells me? He tells me the general manager that day was going to fire me, but he died like 4 hours prior to the meeting. He had terminal cancer. He hadn't told anybody. He died. And so Wayne looked at me and said, "He was going to fire you, but I believe in you. And I think you're going to be a star one day. And I'm going to stick with you. So go in that studio and do your thing." That was year one. I lasted close to 20 years. And then I left.
So it's kind of the underdog. He believed in the underdog. So if it wasn't for him, maybe you wouldn't be where you are right now. We
that's
never
right.
know. We will
so
never
that's know. Why I said passion work ethic, believing in yourself, having somebody believe in you, and you need a little bit of luck along the way. Luckily, everything fell into place for me.
And you're living the best life. Now, the video that started all this and the reason why you are here, is it still on your phone?
100%. I watch it all the time.
And you're still going to keep it on your phone?
Yes.
So do you still feel like you're stuck in that box, or you're really flying high?
I left the box when I decided to make the move, which was back at the end of May. So I'm out of that box. And if anyone is stuck in that box and they want to talk to me or talk to you, I'll tell them that, you know what? Don't be afraid to get out of that box, because outside of that box is a whole bigger world. And, you know, I'm in that bigger world right now. And you talked about, not only did my followers follow me over, but I have so many other people. One of the things that I found I didn't think was going to happen, but it actually did, is I thought after 20 years of working in the business, I thought pretty much everyone locally knew me. When I went over to French Sports Radio and French Sports Television, I got messages every day on my Instagram direct message, on my Facebook Messenger. I got messages every day from people saying, I had no idea who you were. I just started watching you now. I just started following you. Hey, you know what? I like you. I like your opinions, or I think you're good. I'm going to start following. And now those people, they've started to watch my podcast. Even though my podcast is in English and maybe it's their second language, you know what? They're starting to watch my podcast the way I went over to my second language and started doing French radio and French television. So once again, we can all coexist. It's, you know, Quebec's a beautiful province made up of a lot of beautiful people. And it's really worked out.
And the possibilities are endless if you believe. And if you definitely do the network and surround yourself with amazing people, you could just keep flying high and doing exactly what you were meant to do. So go out there and get out of that box and do exactly what you are meant to do. Don't hide anymore. So how do you want to finish this off, Tony? What do you want to tell our listeners?
I can sing.
Oh, boy. We won't go there.
You want me to sing you a song or what?
Oh, boy. Okay, let's go. What song are you going
to sing? Senti nell'aria c'è già la nostra canzone d'amore che va.
And we end on this song with Tony Marinaro on Industry Talk. Bye-bye, Tony.
Bye, Connie.